Your financial support for Public Radio is making a real difference. Thanks for deciding to be a part of what we do. Before her book Nomadland was turned into a movie that won 3 Academy Awards, Jessica Bruder came to our studio at Travel with Rick Steves. She drove here in the secondhand van she had lived in for 2 years to tell us about a side of America it helped her to experience. One that hadn't really been talked about very much before she wrote about it. Jessica traveled across the U.S. in that van to find seasonal temp work and to chronicle the stories of other work campers she got to know. People who live in RVs and camper vans full-time, mostly because they can't afford any other way to live in retirement. Jessica also got to experience the camaraderie that these campers have created at events like the Rubber Tramp Rendezvous, put on by the Homes on Wheels Alliance in Arizona in January. Jessica, you've parked with a huge van here in front of our studio. Tell us about your van.
All right, that van is Van Halen. It is a 19-foot long 1995 GMC Vandora, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it has the same body type as the van they used on the A-Team.
Oh, my goodness. I had a van called Vinnie Van Gogh. Do people name their vans?
Do they ever?
You go to one of these trailer camps outside of an Amazon.
Vanna White, Vanshin.
It just goes on and on. Well, what is it like when you park your van there? Is it a welcoming community or are people locking their doors and trying to have their privacy?
It's an incredibly welcoming community. And I think people were almost disappointed because people want adventure and danger. And when I came home, people said, "You're a solo woman out there. Was it terrifying? Did you have a gun?" And I really felt sad about disappointing them. So I used to say, "Oh, there was one very big danger. It was caloric hazard," because people kept trying to feed me.
I love this idea that you go to a convention with all of these van campers and work campers, and they share their lessons. I would imagine there's the healthcare challenges. There's how do you get on the grid? How do you get your Wi-Fi? You know, how do you fix your van when you don't have a lot of money? How do you contribute to the parallel economy within the van camp when there are two people and one person's working and the other person's hanging out at the RV?
Yeah, and there are people who do dog walking, meal cooking. Again, there's just like a whole sub-economy that crops up in these camps, but also just a lot of goodwill in terms of helping people. Like at the Rubber Tramp Rendezvous, I was there right before it 1 year and camped with a woman in her 70s who was teaching a trans man in his 20s how to bolt a solar panel on the roof of his van. And he figured living in a van was the only way he'd ever be financially independent. Uh-huh. She was letting him send his testosterone to her P.O. box because he needed that to keep up.
Oh my goodness.
Their friendship was something the likes of which I've never seen in traditional house society. It was fantastic.
You know, I think it must be 50 years ago, my dad took me to a hobo camp. And it was a bunch of tramps or whatever, the political correct word. But these were a bunch of people that were itinerant laborers. And we called them hobo camps back then. And it was a community. It was a community back in the 60s. There's a community like that today. Of course, there were the Okies in the Depression, and you call a lot of people nicknamed these people we're talking about today as what the Okies of the Great Recession.
And they call themselves a Vanily.
They call themselves what?
It's like a family.
Oh, a Vanily.
Yeah.
So there is this culture, and it's not something that's necessarily new, but it's taking on a new shape given RVs and Amazon warehouses and a rich society selling pumpkins now and Christmas trees next month.
Yeah, it's morphing to take a shape that's really governed by these economic currents, for sure. But the family aspect, that kinship, is definitely still there.
So if I came to one of these big parking lots with a lot of these vans and your van was parked there, Van Halen, what would wow me if I stepped into your van? What's cool about it?
Well, I kind of like flea markets all over the country, and I have a really tacky black velvet painting of Ernest Hemingway that everyone calls Creepy Hemingway, that people seem impressed with.
So you're part of the culture. They know, oh, here comes Jessica with Creepy Hemingway.
There's Creepy Hemingway.
There's the woman with the Creepy Hemingway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's got some micro fame, Creepy Hemingway. But yeah, no, I actually really adore my van. When I first got it, I figured this is a good deal. It's low mileage.
What's something clever you did to outfit it? Just to fit the needs for you on the road.
Oh, gosh. I got some panels put in the top so I can sleep in the pop-up. A lot of vans come with that. Mine did not.
Okay.
I did bolt on. My best friend spends half the year off the grid in Humboldt. So he and I configured a solar system. So there is a photovoltaic panel we bolted to the roof of the van. Screwing through the metal is terrifying, but I didn't have room for a rack. So we put that on there and it feeds two 6-volt lead-acid golf cart batteries that we installed under the bench, and that helps power my laptop and keeps my gear charged up.
Your support for the station during this special membership drive puts fuel in the engine of public radio where you live. If you don't have much to spare, that's okay. This is public radio, and we're here to serve you. And if you can afford a little extra to help the station meet its goals, that really means a lot to us as well. I'm Rick Steves, and I'm asking you to join me in supporting public radio because this is where I know my dollars are put to very good use. Public broadcasting is by far the best value going in today's media marketplace. With your contribution, you're helping to fund the news source you rely on every day to stay informed and entertained and enlightened. We know your time and money are limited. You want to get the very most experience for every dollar and minute you spend. That's why I feel so good about contributing to my local public radio station. Can we count on you as well?